It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It is Thursday, the 21st of December. May God bless you and keep you today and cause His face to shine upon you. At this time, we'll have our opening prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to come together and to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which we ask now to guide us as we go into the study of your word. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, we pray for grace and wisdom to be granted to us. For all is asked and prayed in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. It's about
brothers and sisters, we're going to delve into just a practical Bible lesson as we continue in the various themes from the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to talk about, the title is Agree with Thine Adversary Quickly. Agree with Thine Adversary Quickly. It's a misunderstood verse in the Bible, not much commentary on it. We're going to see what the Lord tells us this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the truth. We thank you so much for your mercy. We ask, Father, that you would help us to grow in grace and continue to fill our hearts and minds with the love of Christ, that we will share this love one with another, that we will do all we can to reach one another with love and truth and mercy. We ask that you would bless us in our study in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a phrase, I did not coin the phrase, but the phrase I do believe is biblical, and this is what it says. It is better to be righteous than to be right. It is better to be righteous than to be right. I think you'll see what a little bit more about what that means as we read our verses today. That's verses 25 and 26 of Matthew 5. The Bible says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Agree with thine adversary quickly. A lot of people have read this verse and thought it was appropriate to compromise biblical truth in order to keep the peace. If that was the case, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. All he would have had to do was agree with the devil. The devil said, I'll give you all the kingdom. You don't have to die for it. Just worship me. So he could have compromised and worshiped the devil and not died on the cross. Abel didn't have to die if this was the right principle, because he could have just agreed with Cain that collard greens and tomatoes and corn are an acceptable sacrifice. You see, he could have agreed with his adversary quickly while he was in the way. So that's not what that means, brothers and sisters. This does not mean that we compromise biblical truth and standards and righteousness, because if that is the case, there would never be anybody persecuted for righteousness' sake, okay? Jesus himself was persecuted, and he's the one that said this. So what does it mean to agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way? Well, what is the way that a Christian walks in? Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So what God is trying to tell us, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. As a Christian should only be in ways that please the Lord, God is talking about areas where we might even be defrauded some, but we don't have to compromise a principle, okay? We might get the short end of a stick in certain situations, but we don't have to do anything that harms the cause of Christ. In other words, it's better to be righteous than to be right. You know, sometimes we're just so determined to be right, to win every argument, to always come out on top in every situation. Somebody might do something that might cause us some inconvenience, and we want to fight for every right that we have rather than be somewhat inconvenient and just leave it in the hands of the Lord. This is talking about an attitude where we would not feel like we would have to be in a contentious position for our rights, brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean we don't exercise our rights, but we would not contend for them. In other words, we just aren't to contend would be to fight, to be contentious. Okay, and so God is here telling us that sometimes we just need to a phrase that's often used in the society, pick your battles. Okay, pick your battles. In other words, we don't always have to fight for everything. win every argument. Always be the first in line, even if it's our right to be the first in line. If somebody jumped ahead of us, so what? You know, what is that going to do? We sometimes just need to humble ourselves. Somebody cuts in front of you while you're driving, we yell and scream, and we left early, so even with that person getting in front of us, we're not going to be late. You know, but just the audacity of them. And, you know, many people who have not this principle have died. People who are out there, you don't know where people are in their heart, in their mind, in their mental stability. Some people are ready to snap just because, you know, what has happened in their life. They could have just been fired from their job. They could have just been divorced from their spouse. Something bad could have happened. And then they could have even made a mistake and got in front of you, and you yell and you scream and you curse. Sometimes you throw up a finger and you blow your horn. Brothers and sisters, you just don't know what that might do. And sometimes that has actually even been one of the, this is true. This has actually been one of the tactics of gang what do you call it when you get into a gang? Not infiltration, but there's another word. Initiation, gang initiation. They will have someone who wants to be in a gang try to provoke somebody in some kind of road race, jump in front of them, whatever. And if that person yells and screams, they shoot them, and that's their gang initiation. So again, just following this principle that sometimes it's better to be defrauded than to always have your way. It's a powerful principle, brothers and sisters. And so God is not, again, here telling us about the compromise of truth and righteousness. It's talking about in our personal life and walk and the things that are due to us. If we can make peace, it's better to make peace often than to have all of your rights. That's just the bottom line, brothers and sisters. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. The judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. You know, there is a movement against police officers, and please understand, I am a witness that police often overstep their boundaries. And I'm not, and this is what we have to do. We have to pray and ask God for wisdom. Sometimes the Lord will impress you to just kindly exert your right to not be searched or have entrance into your home without a search warrant, but do it in a nice way. Agree with thine adversary quickly. In other words, try to make peace. But a lot of times, you know, you have officers that might yell and scream, and you can actually put out the fire. But when you yell and scream back, oh, brothers and sisters, many a person has gotten brutalized unnecessarily because they just didn't understand this principle. Was the police right? No, they were the adversary, okay? But you know what? It's kind of nice not to have a broken nose and a bloody lip and some injury that you might not recover from, okay? And some have even died. So God is just giving us principles of truth and peace. Agree with an adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. I want to read something to you from Desire of Ages. This is talking about the life of Christ, and I'm reading to you from page 89, okay? It says, Jesus did not contend for his rights. Often, his work was made unnecessarily severe because he was willing and uncomplaining. You see, when you agree with the adversary, you have a willing heart, and you're not one to complain. Yet he did not fail nor become discouraged. He lived above these difficulties as if in the light of God's countenance. He did not retaliate when roughly used, but bore insult patiently. Sometimes people will insult you, and we want to turn around and insult them back. What right do they have to say that about me? You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? And this is the attitude that we're talking about. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. sometimes you're going to be done wrong. But just be patient and kind. Don't retaliate. That's agreeing with thine adversary quickly. Again and again he was asked, why do you submit to such despiteful usage, even from your brothers? It is written, he said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So Jesus increased, as the Bible says in, I think it's Luke chapter 2, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was liked by the people. Why? Because he didn't always contend for his rights. He had a willing heart. He was uncomplaining. They made his work difficult, but he didn't retaliate. That's the true godly spirit, brothers and sisters. And this does not excuse or say that we should be a doormat. Jesus knew who he was. He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He had come down to save man. And this is not excuse domestic violence, things of that nature. Okay, your body is first God. Okay, so if somebody's beating God's body, which is your stewardship, okay, you need to get out because your body is God's property. You follow what I'm saying? So this concept does not countenance or excuse physical violence or encourage you to stay where there's physical violence and that kind of thing. God, and often that happens. We've heard of stories, and some of us have been victims of domestic violence or some other type of abuse. God is not in here saying that we should submit to this abuse. It's just talking about a humble and willing spirit so that we might not always get our way, but we would rather make sure that God is not dishonored by our actions than to always have every right that we have fulfilled. That is agreeing with thine adversary. And sometimes because of that, you know, there may be some issue where the person can take you to court or accuse you of something. Then the police come and then they deliver you to the judge comes and he believes, then you go to jail. And then you'll end up paying, all because you wouldn't humble yourself. So it's just better to be righteous than to be right, okay? Sometimes we'll do something and somebody challenges us. And the Lord might say, you know, just let it go. Let it go. You know, I was in a situation one time and I was talking to somebody about some things of the ministry and it offended someone else because they just didn't, you know, they just didn't think I should talk about that. And they said it right then and there. And I said, you know what, if it bothers you, I'll talk about this at a later time. And that was it, you know. The people saw that that person had a hot head, and they saw that God's servant was humble. That's what we have to be, friends, humble vessels in the eyes of God. So I hope this message has been a blessing to you. Maybe there's some area in your life where God is telling you to just, you know, turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate. Let God lead. And I want to mention one more thing. If I can, I may not be able to find the scripture, but remember in what Jesus quoted, it talked about mercy and truth. Okay. Mercy and truth is what converts the sinner. And I want to see if I can find a verse that says that. I may not be able to find it because there's probably a lot of mercy and truth scriptures. Give me a second. Okay, yes. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So if you want to get sin out of the camp, you must tell the truth now, but you must have a merciful spirit. And so Jesus, in having mercy he would sometimes not always exert his rightness, but he was righteous, okay? Mercy, when we have a merciful spirit and when we tell the truth at the right time, it actually purges iniquity. So if you want to reach somebody's heart, have mercy. Justice does not necessarily purge iniquity. It checks it, and it's necessary, and it punishes it. But if you want to convert a sinner, you've got to have mercy and truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this practical lesson showing us that we have to sometimes be defrauded, be hurt, be challenged, and we are to remember the promises of God in such times and not always retaliate and feel that we must always exercise our right to be right. We ask that you bless us now, that we will have this humble spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, we'll hear now from Roberta Pennington, our dear friend who wrote and sung this song, The Ministry of Healing.
Christ our Savior could ever leave his side.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to hear from Sister Donna at this time, and she's got a wonderful message for us. It's entitled, Blessing from Obeying Natural Law. Blessing from Obeying Natural Law. Give me a second. I need to make sure I have the right microphone. I don't think I opened up the right microphone. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning. Are you able to hear me this morning?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay. Blessings from obeying natural law. Those who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence of his laws and perceive the evidences of God's love and the blessings that result from obedience will come to regard their duties and obligations from an altogether different point of view. Instead of looking upon the observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice and self-denial, they will regard it as it really is, an inestimable blessing. All our enjoyment or suffering may be traced to obedience or transgression of the natural laws. God, the creator of our bodies, has arranged every fiber and nerve and sinew and muscle and has pledged himself to keep the machinery in order if the human agent will cooperate with him and refuse to work contrary to the laws which govern the human system. A careful conformity to the laws which God has implanted in our being will ensure health, and there will not be a breaking down of the Constitution. God has pledged himself to keep this machinery in healthful action if the human agent will obey his laws and cooperate with him. Every thou shall not, whether in physical or moral law, contains or implies a promise. If it is obeyed, blessings will attend our steps. He requires us to obey natural law to preserve physical health. If Christians will keep the body in subjection and bring all their appetites and passions under the control of enlightened conscience, feeling it a duty that they owe to God, and to their neighbors to obey the laws which govern health and life, they will have the blessing of physical and mental vigor. They will have moral power to engage in the warfare against Satan and in the name of him who conquered appetite in their behalf. They may be more than conquerors on their own account. If laborers who are now in the field had intelligently used their physical and mental powers according to the laws of hygiene, they would not only have been able to become proficient in common branches of education, but would have been versed in different languages and thus would have been qualified to become missionaries in foreign countries. Now that's dependent upon adherence to the principles. The souls and bodies of people have been fast becoming a corrupted mass of disease. This would not have been the case if those who claim to believe the truth had lived out its sacred principles in their lives. If man had obeyed the laws of Jehovah in his natural laws, the image of God would have been revealed in him. And let me read that again. If man had obeyed the laws of Jehovah in his natural laws, the image of God would have been revealed in him. Brothers and sisters, wouldn't you like the image of God to be revealed in you? I would, definitely. This reading comes from Healthful Living, it's chapter 5, page 22 and 23. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to have sharing and caring time, and we'd love to hear from you, whatever's on your heart. We start, though, with our roll call, and that will be with Facebook, that we have Brother Peyton from North Carolina. He says, good morning to everyone. Sister Vicky out of Georgia, good morning to everyone. We have a brother, Liam. I'm assuming it's a brother. I'm not sure, but I believe it is. Not sure where that dear brother is from. We have Sister Bernadette out of Florida saying good morning to us. Sister Glorious out of Virginia saying good morning to us. And on our call, we have Sister Donna out of Ohio. We have Sister Lori out of Ohio. We have Brother Walking John out of Ohio. We have Sister David. God bless you, Sister David, out of Maryland. We have Sister Susan out of Pennsylvania. We have Brother Paul from Maryland. We have Brother Raymond, Sister Desiree, Sister Lenny, and Sister Gail from Delaware. And we have Sister Charmin out of Missouri. We have Brother Joseph out of North Carolina, Sister Wanda from Oklahoma, Sister Leilani out of Iowa, Sister Odessa from Oklahoma, and Sister Angela from South Carolina. Praise God. Phone lines are open. If you have anything on your heart, please feel free to press star 6. Let's talk. If there is anyone, just press star 6. God is merciful. Yes, please. Sister Donna?
I just wanted to ask continued prayer for those who are grieving loved ones down through the years as we get closer to Christmas. And just remember them in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to go to Sister Desiree on the call. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, everyone, and Pastor and Sister Maria. Listen, I literally lived this scripture the other day when I was at work. And because how I grew up or how, what I experienced, I'll say it's what I experienced. You know, you want to speak up for yourself because you didn't speak up before. In this particular moment, the Holy Spirit said, let her have that. And I begin to see, you know, when I first started work here, they showed like a short video of people. It was like an Ally McBeal moment where they would show, you know, with that person had cancer or had an argument. You just don't know what people are thinking and what they've gone through before you met them face to face. And because the Lord humbled my spirit, I allowed the Lord to humble my spirit. You know, that person came back to me. I knew what they were trying to say and what they were doing to apologize, but she wanted me to know because she didn't know who I am or who I am. And I listened to her because she shut me down. And I was like, I'm so glad to see you. She was like, I know how to do my job, blah, blah, blah. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And it wasn't like that for me. And let me tell you, because I said nothing, I mean, literally, I couldn't even open my mouth, shut me down. And she came back. She circled back to me. And I said, there it is. And I saw everything. I could see it. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because that's a sister who knows games don't know. And I just thank God for that. So I literally lived what you just said. And that's not the first time. But, you know, so I asked God to let me get the victory in these moments where you don't necessarily have to always be contentious and defend yourself. And I've been one where I had to do that because I often would let people just walk over me. And I said, no more of that. And so then when it comes out, it's like, whoa, I'm shocked she's doing that. So I just thank God I didn't have to do that. He held me by the coattail, and he could get the glory and not me.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, sis. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to go to Sister Lenny at this time. Good morning, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. I just want to thank God for life. I want to thank God for allowing me to hear and to listen. You know, attending my great nephew's funeral on Tuesday, a lot of the people, especially the youth, a lot of them were family members that gave their life to Christ when they had an altar call. They gave their life to Christ. I'm watching them, and And I was saying, Lord, what can I do for someone here? You know, and I know a lot of them was family, but there was a lot of friends as well. Show me what I can do today to talk to someone about health. And one of my nephews came to me, and he said, Aunt Lenny, I need help. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I need help with my health. He said, my blood pressure is high. I have diabetes. I'm, you know, so many other different things. And quickly, I was able to assist him, like, right then and there with some things that he can do with his blood pressure and the diabetes. But we're going to talk further. Then at the burial, one of my nieces, we, you know, they have you walking in twos, and, you know, she's standing beside me, and she said, Aunt Lenny, I really need your help. I mean, she said the same thing, exact thing as my nephew, and I was able to talk with her. So I told her, I said, you know, we have to get together. So God led me to have a session at my house for family, friends, whoever chooses to come, so that I can talk with them together or one-on-one if they choose. But I just thank God for prayer. I thank God for allowing me to listen. I thank God for using me there. So I just pray that we will all understand that God is there, prayer is real, and He will be there to help you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? And while you're thinking, I have a Bible question, a little Bible question quiz for you this morning. The question is, the animals went into the ark in what number? The animals went into the ark in what number? If you know the answer, press *6 and share the answer. And if you know the scripture, that's wonderful. If you don't, just give the answer. All right, we've got Sister Donna on the call. Sister Donna, go ahead.
I think it might have been 2s and 7s.
Yes. So I'm going to ask another question. You can answer or... you don't have to answer. That would mean how many pigs and how many deer? So that's the second question.
I think it was lots of 2s for the unclean and lots of 7s for the clean, so that they would have.
So how many pigs?
That would be 2 pigs and 7
okay.
deer.
All right. You're 50% right. You're right on the 2 pigs. But let me go, let me take another call. But this is something I want you to know, Sister Donna. I have had ministers that were conference officials that didn't get this question right. So you're that's why I want us to, you know, that's why I'm asking this question. But when I share the answer, I think you'll follow me. We got Sister David. Let's see if she wants to share anything. Uh-oh, let me see. Did I do something wrong there? Let me go to the next question, okay. All right, Sister David.
Yes, it was 2, but it's 2. Everything was 2.
Okay, you
two
say
pigs.
Everything was 2?
2.
Okay. Everything wasn't 2. Like we said, the person who, in other words, when Sister Donna was sharing, she got the first part correct. There were 2 pigs. So everything was 2 in the unclean. And she actually, when we asked then how many deer, or I could say bovine, I used to say cows, and my wife would correct me because a male cow is not a cow, it's a bull. So I used to say how many cows. So I say now how many bovine, but I just use deer. How many deer? and she said 7. Do you want to?
I think it was 7 to 5.
Okay, you think it was 7 as well. All right, let me just. I'm gonna clear the queue and see if there's anybody else that wants to take a stab at this. Anybody else? There were 2. Let me read the verse to you. It's Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2. Okay, Genesis. Get here to Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. It says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens the male and his female. That's your answer. Think about it. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens the male and his female. So every male had to have a female. Every female had to have a male. And if they would take by sevens, how many is that? And of beasts that are not clean, by 2, the male and his female. So would somebody like to take a stab at it? We got some callers. We're going to go to Sister Desiree.
Hold on. So from what I understand is that they were one pair for the unclean, and you're talking about 7, so that's 14.
That's it, sister. I have
had conference officials
that have said, no, it's just 7, because if it's 7, somebody got divorced. Somebody is a widow or a widower, because every male had a female, and if that means every female had a male counterpart. And you can't have a male counterpart with a female if it's just 7, because that's an odd number. God was trying to tell us there were 14 deer, 14 sheep, 14 goats, so on and so forth.
Wow.
All right, sister. Wow. Praise God. Everybody, that's Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. That's your morning quiz for today. We might have some more quizzes. Thank you, Sister Desiree. God bless you.
You're welcome.
All right. It's always good to study and not just on a surface, study the Bible on a surface. The Bible requires us to think and to look at numbers. And there's somebody listening that knows a little about numbers. And I'm not going to mention anything else. This individual knows who he or she is. Praise God. But the point being made is the Bible is a book of numbers, brothers and sisters. There's a reason why there were 7 trumpets and 7 seals and 7 days of the week and 7 feasts. There's a reason why God put why God told us that count each day as a year. Therefore, he could give us prophecies in code such as time, dividing of time. That would be 1260, by the way. Time, half a time. That's the same, 1260. 42 months, 1260, and 1,203 score days. All those are Bible prophecies of the same period of papal supremacy, that Roman Catholic Church that changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. God identified it in numerical code. Praise God. All right, friends, it's time to close out at this time. There's no one else in the queue. I'm going to turn it over to my lovely wife, undreamed of, Sister Maria. She's going to close us out at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of study. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we go throughout this day, your spirit will continue to be with us. We lift up to you the petitions that have been requested. We do pray that you will continue to be with those that have lost loved ones. Especially during this time, we ask that your love will fill their heart, the emptiness that may be there. And we ask, Lord, that you would give them strength, encouragement, and even joy during this time. We want to keep Sister Mary Winston and Sister Shirley health recovery in prayer, asking that you will give them strength and that you will renew them and help them, Lord, to be recovered from their illness. We pray for the Greens. We ask for protection to be granted over their lives and over the lives of their children. And we pray for all, Lord, who are in need of a Savior, we ask that you will help us each to be able to walk close to you, especially during these times. And may our faith in you increase, and may our trust in you ever so more be just as increased. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with Sister Lori, her daughters, and her in prayer. We ask all these things to be done in accordance with your perfect will. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. We just got a quick text message from Sister Lori asking that we remember her and her daughter in prayer. We'll just extend the prayer. Dear Father,
I did pray for that, honey.
You did?
Oh, that was okay. Included in my prayer.
I apologize. Well, thank you very much.
Just so you
I wouldn't
know.
Even
if you
call.
Want to pray, you can.
No. That's right. The Bible says, agree with you. My wife's not my adversary, but it's just not that important. It's been prayed for. Praise God. I just, during the prayer, I heard my phone beep, and so that's why I assumed that it hadn't been addressed. So, very good. We're good, brothers and sisters. At this time, we will close out with our closing song, and that is, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.
I will love.